Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller. There's nothing like a wonderful vacation, whether it's a place you go to every year or finally get to that dream destination after years of planning. But the actual getting there can be less enjoyable, whether it's bad connections, canceled flights, that sneaking suspicion that we pay too much for our flight, or a suitcase that's like dragging dead weight out to the taxi stand. It can take a lot just to get where you're going. Well, lucky for us, Rick Cini is happy to share his knowledge and experience with us. He's the CEO of FareCompare.com. Rick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And, you know, it's about this time of year that I think a lot of us really start getting that itch to head out somewhere. And at some point, it might not even matter where we're going, just so we're getting out
of town. A lot more of us than previous years, by the way.
Really?
which is why ticket prices are up quite a bit.
So what are the trends you're seeing?
Well, I think if summer airfares, there's no doubt that prices are up. If you look at last summer, our data shows that they're up about 6%. But if you look at back to the beginning of last year, it's more like 15 or 16%. Now, you got to remember, we were in a recession before, and there was some really steep lows. So basically, you have three things going on right now that are causing higher ticket prices for the summer. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have sticker shock. One is fuel prices. While they did sort of drop back recently, they've been stubbornly high. Airlines have been cutting flights for the last two or three years in the middle of the recession, and even before that during the fuel crisis. And guess what? The economy is at least showing some green shoots, and people are saying, I'm not going to do my staycation this summer. So demand is up a little bit. Those three things are a recipe for higher ticket prices.
And we'll talk a little later about how to know. I hesitated. Do we really want people to know if they paid too much?
You'd be surprised how many people actually buy their tickets, then come to our site and monitor it just to sort of prove a fact that they actually either did or didn't pay the right amount.
Or they're just gluttons for punishment.
I don't understand that behavior, but a lot of people do it.
I kind of like to just pull the trigger and don't look back and think, you know, I want to get there. I'm going to get there. That's what's important. But it can be tempting. I mean, it's kind of,
It's somewhat useful in some cases, because if the price drops dramatically, there are some options for actually getting a refund and rebooking your ticket. But it has to drop a pretty significant amount.
Okay. Well, and actually, Rick, you were just talking about the fact that some airlines have canceled some flights and some routes. There was a question on our Facebook page. It says, my family and I want to travel from Madison or Milwaukee to L.A. around the 14th of August. Dates are somewhat flexible. We would like to travel AirTran on a straight flight from Milwaukee to L.A., but there seems to be no more straight flights in mid-August. Why? Will there be more coming up, or did AirTran cancel this route?
Yeah, basically AirTran. Well, actually, it's Southwest now.
Oh, okay.
Because Southwest Airlines owns AirTran, and they're slowly but surely sort of rejigging their network and removing some of those particular flights, especially hotly competitive ones, out of Milwaukee, for example. So in that particular case, an airline wouldn't remove a summer flight because that's the busiest season if it wasn't something that they were planning on doing for the long term.
Okay, so probably she's going to need to look at some different options, because chances are that's not going to be an option.
Well, I'm sure there's some nonstops to L.A. to Milwaukee, and there's probably a couple of the airlines. I'm not looking at the data right now, but the bottom line is that nonstops this summer are actually running about 20% more than connecting flights, right? So airlines are saying, look, if you want the convenience factor, we're going to charge a premium.
That's pretty significant, especially if you're already looking at pretty high prices for any flights.
Especially for a family of four, absolutely.
I want to get to the phone soon, but Rick, we're just a couple days out from Memorial Day weekend. Some people are probably actually already into it. Is it too late to plan a last-minute getaway?
No, the airlines do have a few sales going on, but the key is to actually return on the day of Memorial Day, hopefully in the evening, right? So you're returning that the day of, because if you're coming back the day after, which is what most people want to do Tuesday and leave the Friday before, prices are pretty steep. So to find, you know, really to be honest, anytime you have a holiday like this and airlines are treating the summer as a holiday, it's about what I like to call getting a better bad deal.
Okay.
And so there are not a lot of really smoking hot deals out there, but there's a few places you can go. For example, Florida being one of them, Los Angeles area being one of them, where you can get some pretty decent deals over Memorial.
Well, and it sounds like, given that you're saying you really do need to come back on Monday, and for a lot of folks, if they haven't already thought ahead and taken tomorrow off, maybe the earliest they can leave is tomorrow evening or even, you know, first thing Saturday morning, probably don't want to be planning to go too far because you're going to spend a lot of your time in transit.
Yeah, the best thing to do right now if you want to shop for the weekend is to actually look at some packaging deals. The major online travel agencies have packages. They tend to negotiate rates well ahead of time, and they're not really paying market rate. They're paying pre-negotiated rate, and they're able to discount because you really don't know what the total ticket price is, because the hotel might be discounting or the airline might be discounting, and because you don't know that, it's not cannibalizing their a la carte pricing, separate pricing.
Good to know. Well, let's go to the phones, and Melody in Mercer has a question. Hi, Melody.
Hi.
What's your question?
I am flying out on July 5th through July 11th, and I'd like to leave out of Rylander or Wausau and into Rochester, New York or Buffalo with two adults and two children.
Yeah, you need to be shopping right now, eh? The ticket prices, I'm sure you've been doing some quotes, right?
Yes.
And it's been what, $400 to $500, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the reason is we monitor every route in the world every hour on the hour at our company, and we see what the price points are, and it's pretty amazing, especially when you get to in your particular case, it's a smaller regional airport to another smaller regional airport. Those ticket prices are averaging more than $100 to $150 more than they did 18 months ago.
Okay.
And so what they're doing is basically they've had 22 airfare hikes attempts last year and 6 this year. And what happens is the smaller cities take the brunt of these hikes, because when the bigger cities get a hike, competition changes the prices downward, but they don't tend to change these smaller regional airports very quickly. And we're seeing some really steep prices out of the smaller airports. So people are actually going out driving an hour or two or three to a bigger airport to get the actual deal they want. But of course, with gasoline being close to, $4 a gallon, you have to take that into account as well.
Mm-hmm. So actually, Rick, I was going to ask, would Melody perhaps be better off if she could drive over to the Twin Cities?
I definitely, out of the Twin Cities, you're going to see that ticket price be closer to $350 to $380 versus $450 to $500.
And Melody, you said you're talking about a group of four going?
I am.
So that could shave quite a bit off.
And would it be, should we like buy on a Tuesday or buy on a Sunday? Does that matter at all?
It certainly, there. When you shop matters, there's the sales that are happening right now with airlines are fewer and farther between the last couple months. But typically, at least one airline files a sale on Monday evening. All the other airlines scramble to match in the morning. So the best time to start shopping is Tuesday afternoon. And typically, these sales, about three-quarters of the time, last for 3 days. So they tend to yank these fares out of the system on Thursday night. So your window of shopping is Tuesday through Thursday. If you're shopping, for example, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's highly likely you're paying too much for your ticket.
Which is really interesting, Rick, because I think, the way most of us function with Monday through Friday, more or less 9-to-5 job, probably the times that we have to be poking around on the internet looking for fares is on the weekends. And so
you'd be surprised. The reason for this actually is sort of historical. Back when, at the turn of the century, when we didn't have really fast internet connections, the only one that had a fast internet connection was our boss. And so everybody shopped on their boss's dime during the early part of the week. So that trend actually has occurred historically. And airlines, when they do have sales, they do want to sell some of those seats. So they want to get it into the biggest marketplace. Mm-hmm. And that's typically when people are at work.
I'm sure people are doing it only on their lunch hours and coffee breaks.
I'm sure, yeah, too. Sure. I would never say anything but that.
Well, Becky sent an email asking why the airfare between Minneapolis and Milwaukee is so expensive right now. Sometimes it's more than actually going to California.
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy out there right now. I mean, there are tickets between cities like Dallas and Houston that are more than New York to L.A. And really, it's all about competition, right? Mm-hmm. And she's probably looking at some tickets that are sort of close in. So once you get inside of 14 days before departure, the ticket prices drop. I mean, they increase dramatically. And inside of 7 days, they increase even more. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is basically getting a big premium for those nonstop flights. I mean, you're talking about a flight that's well less than an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for that question, Becky. And let's go to Ian in Oshkosh next. Hi, Ian.
Hi. Yes, I was looking at flying to New Zealand around Thanksgiving. I wanted to know when to book and what kind of price to expect out of somewhere in the Appleton or Chicago area. And also, do you know anything about Air Pacific? Because I saw some pretty cheap prices with them. They're apparently Fiji's national airline. I guess we might even give us a stop over there.
Many questions there. Let me give you a couple of them. It's good that you're actually looking this early. Typically, you want to start shopping for, Southeast Asia, Australasia, about 4.5 to 5 months before departure, which is about where you are right now. So it's okay to shop right now. Typically, the cheapest prices to New Zealand are from the West Coast. So sometimes I recommend people sort of split their tickets and buy a cheap ticket to the West Coast and then look from a West Coast ticket to New Zealand or Australia, for example. And typically, you can save yourself anywhere from $300 to $400 on a coach ticket if you do that. Because you're looking at ticket prices probably in the $1,600 to $1,900 range, basically.
And do you expect it to come down from that at all?
If you could tell me if oil was going to be at 75 or 80 in 3 or 4 months, I would expect it to come down. I don't expect it to come down a lot because those tickets.
Before Pacific at 1,000.
Yeah, if Air Pacific is selling a ticket, at just over $1,000, and by the way, that's a pretty good airline. I've been on that particular airline before. I know a lot of people that do that. Certainly, I would definitely scoop up that ticket right away because that's an extremely cheap ticket on that route.
Okay.
Are you ready to pull the trigger, Ian? Can you do it?
We'll see.
Okay. I can tell you right now that if you buy a ticket for under $1,400 from where you're sitting today to New Zealand at any time, that's a great deal.
Well, no, that price was from L.A. or San Francisco.
Again, it's cheaper from there. If you look at the ticket prices from Minneapolis or Chicago, they're going to be around $1,700 or $1,800. So you might be able to slide in on a low-cost airline on the West Coast and then just make a connection there and take it from Los Angeles or San Francisco.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks for that call, Ian. And if you have a question about travel, you can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller, talking with Rick Cini, the CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. And we like to mention every once in a while, Rick, just so people know, FairCompare.com doesn't get any kind of money from the companies, the airlines and things like that. How do you support yourself so that your advice is really
sure.
Unbiased?
We're advertising based. So if you do end up buying a ticket, in some cases we get a small amount of money, but our main thing is about, providing, travel advice, giving you sort of when to buy, where to shop, how to get the best deal and what you're shooting for. We do have MetaSearch on our site where you can check all the different airlines and do a quote. For me, doing a quote is just part of the battle, right? It's all about saying, is this quote any good? Should I pull the trigger now? Should I wait 3 weeks? And that's really what we're trying to resolve, which is providing that advice that everybody needs about that quote.
Thanks for clarifying that. I think it's good to let people know that. Rick, last time you were on, I think it was, you shared some packing tips, but we didn't actually talk about the best kind of luggage to pack things into. You have some great advice as a seasoned traveler of what kind of bags are good for air travel. What are some of your suggestions?
Yeah, well, first of all, it depends on what airline you are going on. Some of them will allow you to check the first bag free, JetBlue and Southwest, but certainly you want a extremely portable bag. I personally actually have two different bags, one for regional jets and one for single aisle jets, because I don't like, you know, putting my, when I get on a 50-seater flight, I like to have my stuff with me. And it saves another 10 or 15 minutes at the airport. So certainly something portable. The other thing is that happens quite a bit is they've done a study recently where they noted that all the bags that were lost or stolen are basically black.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I would do is actually, in my case, I have a red bag.
I have a Kelly green bag.
Right. And I know a lot of people put big bows on them and ribbons and duct tape and whatnot to sort of delineate them. But I would definitely get a different colored bag. And certainly you want to make sure it's approved for the size and weight. The airlines are being much more restrictive on, you know, a lot of people have seen those templates that they have at the gates on the size and the weights of their bags. Anything over 50 pounds, they're gonna ding you as well. So and on, you know, I've seen a lot of people, too. There's a lot of new planes out there with bigger bins out there, so everybody's carrying on their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But TSA will let you take any size bag through that you want, but at the ticket counter, and it's sort of spotty, at the gate where the gate agents are, sometimes they're really sticklers about the bags and some aren't. So definitely always get a flexible one, because I've seen many times people at the gate pull out two pair of jeans and it fits into the template.
Uh-huh.
And then they just stick them in their pockets or whatever and walk on the plane. So definitely you want one that's flexible. Hard-sided ones, you're sort of out of luck if they don't fit.
And you talk about also that you want something that's easily stowed. And so in some cases, you may or may not want something with wheels, because that actually can make it even harder to stow.
Yeah, I mean, some wheels are sort of the best invention ever made for a carry-on bag, but in some cases, especially on some of the smaller jets, it's important you know what kind of jet you're about to get on, because there is a big difference between, you know, 50, 70, or 100-seat regional jets and 137-seat. And some of these newer aircraft have massively huge bins now where you're safe to take on something a little bit bigger, and some of the other aircraft or older aircraft are small. So definitely look on your itinerary. It'll tell you if you see MD or something like that for a McDonnell Douglas older aircraft, definitely take the smaller one. If you're looking at a 737, typically those are newer and with a bigger bin space. So just make sure you know where you're going.
And your last bit of advice there is pretty common sense, but I think it's good to remind people, don't pack valuables in your luggage.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, it's not covered under any of the plans. If you pack valuables in your checked luggage, definitely carry them either on your person or very near to you in your carry-on. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes on these carry-ons, if you're not in the first half of the people that board the plane, they're going to take that bag away from you and gate check it. And that's, you don't want your valuables or anything you need, your medicines, anything being taken away from you. You want them on you.
Right. And if it's something valuable, either monetarily or sentimental value, as I'm packing or getting ready to go, I often think, do I really need to take this? You know, if these are my absolute favorite pair of earrings or whatever, maybe I don't actually need to take them on this trip, and maybe they can just stay at home and be safe.
Yeah, my daughter's 11, and my wife and I, my daughter has over 250,000 air miles. We fly all over the world. In the last 4 or 5 years, we have never checked a bag, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to take a different philosophy, right? It's not about how good you look. It's how comfortable you are and how mobile you want to be. And so definitely, and it's really not about the cost of checking a bag necessarily. It's that we like to be mobile and move around, maybe take a train, take a bag with us, for example.
It really makes you streamline what you're taking.
More trips are ruined to Europe and Asia by lost bags than any other reason.
Mm. Great advice. And that great advice is coming from Rick Cini, the CEO of FareCompare.com. And he is joining us here today on The Larry Mueller Show. We are talking travel and happy travel with Rick Cini, the CEO of FareCompare.com. And Rick, you were just talking about traveling with your daughter. And Annie in Madison has a question about traveling with kids. Hi, Annie.
So much. I am traveling for the first time, flying for the first time with my children ages 8 and 10. We're going from Madison to L.A., and then we're taking a three-week road tour of the Southwest. And I'm wondering if Rick could help me advise my kids of what to expect, not only in the traveling, but also packing tips. I know you were just talking about types of bags and such, and I'll check the websites for the airlines. But in helping kids decide what they should pack and bring with on a long trip.
Great question,
sure.
Annie.
Yeah, and I wish I had my wife here. She would be better at this than I would. But let me give you a couple of tips. First of all, your kids are under 12 years old, so when they get to the airport, they do not have to go through the body scanner. So if they're trying to push your kids through the body scanner, especially if this is one of their first trips, just tell the TSA agent they're under 12. They'll actually put them through the metal detector. And, by the way, mom gets to go with them through the metal detector as well.
Oh, that's a great benefit.
Hey.
There you
right?
go.
So, and my daughter is 11, just under 12, and she's kind of tall. So many times they're like, you actually have to tell them. And it's perfect because they don't have to sort of, that first time, the body scanner can be scary for kids. It is a little bit sort of space age. So definitely I would do that. On the packing side, when you go out to get your particular bag, what my wife and I always do with our kids is that my daughter always has sort of less clothing, so my wife sort of steals part of her bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a perfect situation, right? They both get to carry on a bag. If you want to have a little extra stuff, you can take theirs. But kids are a little less, well, at least mine isn't so much that I have to have, you know, on a three-week trip, it doesn't matter. You're never going to be able to take 3 weeks worth of clothes, right?
Right.
You're going to either be washing them or sort of reusing them in a variety of ways. Especially on a trip that's a road trip like that, and if you're driving in a car quite a bit, you want to be comfortable, T-shirts, shorts, whatnot, right?
Right.
And definitely, you know, you always want something nice, right? Because we always at least go one night to a nice place, right? So a pair of slacks, something that's a nice shirt. You don't necessarily have to have a jacket, for example, if you want to go to a single nice spot. So, and then I think the thing that really helps the most is not taking a bunch of shoes.
Right. Yes. So they take up a lot of space and they're heavy.
Right. And so therein lies, so typically what we'll do is we'll take, whether it's the dress shoes we're taking or tennis shoes, we'll always wear those on the plane and then take either, you know, flats or sandals or flip-flops and put those in the bag, right? So that always helps a little bit to save some space there. I know my wife would love to take 3 or 4 pair of shoes, but she's learned not to do that, so it's pretty amazing.
Well, thank you so much.
Have fun on that trip, Annie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. And, you know, Rick, let's go international now. I think Randy has a question for you that takes us pretty far afield. Hi, Randy.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm doing some volunteer work in South Sudan, Juba, South Sudan. I already have my tickets for that. But at the end of the trip, I want to do a safari. So I need to fly from Juba to Kenya, round trip, to do this safari. And right now I'm getting a price of $464, and my travel companion wants to wait till we get there, and I'm thinking I probably should set that up.
And when are you going, Randy?
Well, I'm leaving in 3 weeks, but the safari won't be until September 1st.
Okay.
Right, so it's a ways off. A couple things. First of all, most airlines don't start releasing their cheapest seats, especially on sort of a semi-continental domestic route, to about 3 months before departure. So that's why you're seeing the price points a little bit higher in July. You're leaving in September, right, for this particular one. So you want to wait, but I wouldn't wait till I get there. First of all, I'd start shopping maybe, mid to late July and start looking maybe even a little bit earlier than that, maybe early July. And definitely the other thing, too, is you wanted to look at a couple sites that actually have a pretty broad spectrum of airlines and low-cost airlines in the area. One of my favorites is a company called Skyscanner. They're good partners with us. They're based in the UK. And there's also a company called eBookers as well.
Okay.
So check those two websites, for example. They have pretty good coverage over there. They do cover North Africa and some places over in Africa as well. So that'll probably be your best bet to find a little bit shopping. If you're shopping on, you know, Delta or something like that, basically you're going to probably not see the full spectrum of pricing there.
Okay, that sounds good.
And thanks for that call, Randy. And so you're going to, as far as I know, the newest country in the world, right?
Yeah.
South Sudan.
Only about a year old, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, what kind of an airfare was it from the U.S. to Juba?
$2,000 out of Milwaukee into Green Bay.
Hmm. Wow.
That's not too bad, actually. I mean, that the average ticket price to South Africa, for example, from the Northwest, Midwest, is around $2,200. So you're a little bit below sort of the average price.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Great. Well, thanks, Randy. It sounds like a very exciting trip all around. Thanks for calling. Rick, actually, that brings up an interesting question. Are there advantages or disadvantages to buying a ticket, say, while we're still in the U.S. for, you know, between two points that are abroad? Like he's going from Juba to Nairobi.
No, you know, they relaxed the rules in the last 4 or 5 years. Used to, it was very restrictive on where you could buy a ticket and where you were originally. A lot of those rules, the one thing that I would caution people do when they look at some of these foreign currency sites is your credit card company sometimes will charge you 5 or 10% for a foreign exchange transaction fee. So you may be getting a great deal on that if you're buying it in, you know, in euros or pounds or whatever the currency happens to be. But then you get hit on your credit card bill with a $60 or $70 charge.
Right. Good to know. And we had an email from, let me look here, Eric. He's emailing from Italy with a travel question. He's from Wisconsin and returns here every summer for a visit. What's the best time to buy and the best routes?
So he's coming back from Italy.
Exactly.
Well, here's the deal. The cheapest airfare are always into the New York area because there's massive competition right there. Once you start to go deeper into the Northwest, you're looking at Detroit, Minneapolis, Chicago, the ticket prices jump dramatically. Let me give you a couple of quick stats. The average fuel surcharge between the U.S. and Europe is $450 right now. The average taxes are $150, and if you're going to Heathrow, it's $200. So before they even charge for airfare, you're looking at, you know, $600 to $650. So if you're getting a $1,000 ticket, that means they're charging approximately $200 each way for the fare.
Wow. I remember when a flight to Europe was less than what the fuel surcharge is now.
Right. So you have to be a little bit careful flying to Europe at all during late July when the Olympics. It's a big event that's happening. And whether you're going to Europe or coming back from Europe, if you can steer away from the week or two before the end of July and sort of the first end of the first week in August when the games and everybody's coming back, because everybody is buying those tickets. The prices are actually going up. It looked like it was a little bit soft earlier in the year, but it looks like they're starting to
picking
up
a little bit.
But here's, I mean, you're looking at ticket prices really on that kind of route. In that case, you're probably connecting somewhere between $1,200 and $1,300 right now would be a pretty good deal for, say, a July or early August. The one thing that I would say is that the prices dropped dramatically at the last week in August. So there's a big price break point if you depart the last week in August, typically anywhere from $150 to a $250 price drop.
Oh, wow. That's very good to know. Actually, cause I tend to think of Labor Day as when things might start going down, but it sounds like a little bit before.
Just a week before on most airlines, yeah.
Great. Well, speaking of Europe, it sounds like Jason has a trip planned. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
What's your plan?
I have a friend who has a hotel in southern Poland that I've been to twice, and I am wondering what would be the best time of the year to go in terms of price. And when I've flown in, I've flown to Berlin and then gotten a train to Görlitz and then to this place in southern Poland. So. But I'm wondering if that's the best city to fly into, or if you'd recommend another route.
If you went into Poland, Jason, would it probably be Warsaw, or would you fly to Krakow?
Probably Krakow.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, a couple things. Certainly, to be honest, there's a trade-off between weather and price, right? So the actual perfect time to go to Europe, in my opinion, and I've been probably more than anybody should be, is the basically September time frame. The prices drop dramatically for ticket prices, and you still have decently warm weather. And in fact, Oktoberfest is actually in September, which is sort of a cool thing to do, especially if you're going to – I'd go maybe 2 or 3 days early if I was going to do it, you know, in September, for example, and catch some Oktoberfest festivities while you're in Berlin, right?
Why not?
Certainly, Frankfurt is the sort of hub of air travel. Berlin is not quite the hub there. So, you know, if you're going to be flying into Poland, you're not going to do any stopping there. Frankfurt is your best bet. There are airlines like Air Berlin, for example, that fly into Poland. A lot of Polish airlines flies in there as well. And you can typically buy pretty cheap tickets on them. We're talking about, you know, in some cases, especially in the fall, 40, 50 euros each way.
Wow.
really cheap, yeah.
That's probably cheaper than the train, actually.
The last time I went, I have family in Austria. We actually went into Frankfurt. We drove across, and we actually flew down to Munich in a couple different places. So on low-cost airlines like Air Berlin, Ryanair, EasyJet, all have some flights into Poland as well.
All right. I'm really looking forward to doing it again. It's a beautiful park.
It really is. I've been there, and it's lovely. Great. Thanks, Jason. Thank you. Have a great trip.
All right. Thank you.
And Lori is also interested. Oh, we just lost Lori. Let's see. Terry in Durand has a question. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I'm wondering, I have a mom who just recently moved out to Bullhead City in Arizona, and I am having a very difficult time finding a airport or a location close to her to fly into without having to go to Las Vegas or, say, you know, Phoenix or someplace like that. I know they have an airport right there, and Laughlin is across the river, the gambling place. And I've been searching on the Internet, and the only thing I can find is through Don Laughlin, what do you call it, airfare, cruises, not cruises, but, you know, you have to. It's a package deal.
Mm.
It's like a charter, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, I know they got the airport right there in Bullhead from what my mom said, but I can't find any way to get on a flight. Say, like, if I get some time off from work anytime soon, I can just jump on a flight and go. These charter flights, you got to book out, like, 3 months at a time.
Yeah, so, I have to apologize. I'm not super familiar with Bullhead. But in general, I think, if I recall correctly, that airport's what's called an essential air service airport. Basically what that happened in 1978, a lot of airports lost their service that were guaranteed service, and they end up having basically some of these really small aircraft, typically a Cessna maybe, that has 8 to 10 seats, and sometimes maybe even a 30 seat turboprop if it's big enough. And so that's why you're seeing hard to connect into that particular city. And typically from Bullhead, there would only be flights from Bullhead to Phoenix or probably to Las Vegas, for example, right? Maybe to Tucson.
Well, I don't know if that's.
So
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know if that's entirely correct, because I know I know Allegiant flies in there, Sun Country flies in there.
Sure.
And some other ones.
Yeah, and Allegiant would fly maybe. You mean into Bullhead?
Yeah, and they have these charter flights out of Minneapolis. Sun Country flies them, and I think, I don't know if Allegiant has a connection through there either, but they fly out to.
Yeah,
Bullhead.
Typically Allegiant has maybe one or two flights a week, right? That they don't fly a daily schedule into something like that, right? And I'm not familiar, because I'm not from that particular area, about all the different sort of local charter services. But in general, you know, you're looking at ticket prices and you said you were going in the summertime, right?
You know, if I get some time off here and there, you know, like usually you can just jump on a regular commercial jet. You know, you may pay extra money, but at least you can get out there. Well, this one here, you can't just jump on a jet and go. You have to, like...
Really plan
looking
ahead
3 months in advance. Yeah, you know, to be honest, you're looking at ticket prices in the $300 to $500 range, right? I mean, that's and if you can get one on Allegiant, they can be pretty cheap. I mean, they would charge somewhere between $150 and $225, but you're going to have to buy your ticket well in advance.
Well, thanks for that call, Terry, and hope you can get out to Bullhead City.
Sorry, I couldn't help her too much there.
Well, let's go to Moshe in Middleton. Hi, Moshe.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So our son is getting married in California.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The wedding is August 5th, but we plan to be in the area between August 1st and 8th, and I guess we can fly from Madison or Milwaukee to either San Francisco or Sacramento. I've checked pricing the past couple of days, and our preferred airline, can I mention airlines?
Sure.
Delta, that's where I have my miles. It's fairly expensive. There are other choices, but it looks like tickets are tight right now. I saw as cheap as $350 all the way to $500. And the question is, should we grab what we can right now, or should we gamble and try and book tickets in about a month, or whenever you think we have.
Sure, it's a question everybody asks. It's like the quote is 400, 350, 450. What's the likelihood of it going up or down? I would tell you definitely since you're traveling either in really late July or really early August, you don't want to buy your ticket any later than sort of the first week in July. So worst case scenario, you need to buy your ticket by the end of the first week in July, right? So now that gives you approximately, 5 or 6 weeks to sort of decide what to do. At this point, you know, oil prices have come down, $10 a barrel, but I don't think airlines really have lost money the last two quarters are going to be overly excited about dropping prices any, especially when demand is up. So, you know, if you have that ticket and it's around $350, it's probably about $75 more than you would typically pay on a normal ticket price, especially if you were going in the fall, for example. You'd be paying close to $280, $290. I would definitely scoop up the ticket right now. If it's at that 350, if you're seeing 450, 400, the likelihood of it going any higher than that is relatively low. Then I would wait a bit.
Okay.
Great. Well, have a great trip, Moshe, and sounds like a great reason to be going out there. Rick, we don't have too much time left, and I do want to get to Sarah's call, but you were talking about, you know, knowing if you pay too much or not pay too much. Like I said, we don't want anyone to have buyer's remorse, but what is a way to know if you've paid too much for a summer airfare?
Well, I have sort of a rule of thumb. It's about basically how long your flight is, right? So what you really need to know is, like, what's the best deal in history versus, you know, what you should shoot for. So, like, if you're looking at a flight under an hour, the best of the best deals historically are under $100 round trip. But this year you need to be shooting for $150 to $160, right? And some of these people that are seeing, you know, flights between Minneapolis and Milwaukee at $300, that's just basically demand being huge,
right.
Because that's way above what it really should be. If your flight's under 2 hours, anything, you should be shooting for tickets in the low 200s. If your flight's about 3 hours, in the high 200s. And if your flight's over 3 hours, you need to be scooping up any ticket in the low 300s. That's what you should be shooting for.
Great. That's a good kind of basic benchmark for us to use. Let's sneak a call in from Sarah in Mosinee. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I'd like to go to Ireland in September. It doesn't make any difference what time or day of the week, but I wanted to know what day of the week it would be better to travel, and if it's cheaper to go to London and then get a smaller flight over to Ireland.
Well, Ireland is one of the cheapest cities to fly in Europe, so that's, A, good for you. a lot of that has to do with Aer Lingus, who has flights out of Chicago, so you probably can find a really good deal. When you go to Europe, they have what's called weekend and midweek rates. Typically, if you leave on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, they're going to charge you anywhere from $30 to $40 each way more. So if you leave on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes a Thursday, they're going to charge you $40 less. So if you can, travel on those days, even if it's only half your trip, right? You'll get half the benefit.
Okay.
And definitely look at pricing out of Chicago to Ireland, and it's one of the cheapest ways to get to Europe.
Is that partly because there's such a big Irish population in Chicago that there are just a lot of people flying?
You have Aer Lingus, which is sort of a low-cost airline to airline, and also the airport taxes in Dublin are also about half what they are in London.
Wow.
So basically, it's just a great place to fly. And by the way, Ryanair is based in Ireland. And if you want to hop off Ireland, you can typically find, you know, tickets for anywhere from 10 to 30 pounds if you want to go somewhere anywhere around that particular area, whether it's over to London or Paris, for example. They have really inexpensive tickets if you buy about a month in advance.
Great. Well, it sounds like a great trip, Sarah, and sounds like an affordable trip, too. Hope you have a good time. And Rick, we've had a good time, but the time is up already. It always just flies by when we get to talk with you.
Oh, great. Yeah, it was really fun chatting today. Again, I would tell people right now, everybody's asking, you know, are ticket prices going down because oil prices dropped from 105 down to 92 or 93? The answer is no. Demand is up. Airlines are going to be stingy with releasing mm-hmm. these seats. So just be a little more proactive about buying those July and August tickets. Shop if I could get you to shop one day earlier, we'd all save some more money.
Well, Rick Cini, thank you so much for joining us as always, and we'll definitely have you back.
Great, thanks.
Thanks. Rick Cini is the CEO and co-founder of faircompare.com. That's linked on our Facebook page, so you can check out their site. They have some great information on their travel blog, and you can do things like set up alerts for upcoming trips and be alerted when there are drops in airfares. Again, Rick Cini, faircompare.com. So we've been talking about travel and about enjoying locations and cultures different from our own. But there's some very different cultures and communities right here in our state. The Amish stand out by their dress, their choices of transportation, and their simple rural communities. But how much do we as outsiders really know about them? Our next guest has written about and gotten to know the Amish over the past few decades. Richard Dolly joins us for an informative discussion next, so stay tuned here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.